Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
You're listening to Straight Talk with Dean and Mark. We thank you for tuning in and hope you enjoy another exciting episode of our show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Straight Talk with Dean and Mark, coming to you actually on a Tuesday night. This is the first time in a long time that we haven't done it on Monday nights, but the schedule has been hectic. It's been kind of crazy. So this week and next week, we're going to be on for Tuesday night. And then the week of the 26th, we'll hit you with a replay. We're in the process of moving to another platform. We're looking to possibly, we tried to move to Podbean. We tried to see what was going on there. Didn't necessarily work out. So now we're going to move to the StreamYard platform. So you'll actually get to see Mark Lee in action doing his thing. I play more of the background. So you'll hear my voice. You may see an avatar or something like that. But I'm debating on whether I want to be, you know, on screen or not. And I'm a little comfortable behind the scenes because, as you know, I'm the sixth man. This is Sixth Man Dean Geronimo coming to you from New Jersey and from NJ to NC. I'm in the studio with my right-hand man, Mark Lee. So, Mark, tell me what's good in your neck of the woods, my brother.
I'm doing good. How are you doing? I'm sitting here just chilling, man, trying to see what's happening in the world, what's going on in the world. I understand we got a governor in California that might be getting recalled and things of that nature. And, of course, I've been having all kinds of fun with some of the things that are in the International Broadcast Media Network that we are also part of. So I actually had the pleasure of interviewing IPC because he's made me a puppet. So I'm actually a puppet named Echo. So I had puppet rehearsal earlier today and all
okay.
that, but I had the pleasure of interviewing him on yesterday and also interviewed Allison Friedman, who is involved as well with that, and she is a fashion designer out of the New York area. And then I met a guy in Clubhouse, Raj, and gave a snippet, that's a snippet of the interview that I did with him, because it was a full, I think, two-hour interview, but I gave him about 20 minutes on one of the shows yesterday. But he is a marketing whiz out of London, originally from India, and at least I think he's originally from India or one of the Indian type nations, but he also plays the Punjabi drum. So he was talking about his musical background, and he is a music producer and has even done some things, I think, around Bollywood and a number of other places. So we were sitting over there and having those interviews, and I heard you talking about StreamYard, and I know we're also researching Anchor and some of the other platforms and everything, because, you know, wherever we go, we got to carry our boys with us, because we got a team of, what, about 15 shows that we got to figure out how we're going to bring them on board. And of course, I know that we got the network, so the great thing about StreamYard is that we can download the audio, and we can upload it whenever we feel like it and things of that nature. So we can even upload, as we've been doing, into whatever radio or traditional podcasting platform that we do use. And, you know, in the Clubhouse space, I've become friends with some of those podcasting people, and they are telling me that Anchor is the move. So I'm thinking that we might go there, but we might stick around here. Who the heck knows? We're just kind of like playing it along and seeing what things, what folks want us to do and all of that. But we are definitely going to keep things rolling, and of course we're going to keep things rolling throughout the rest of this year. And I am going to talk to some guests, because, you know, some of these guests I try to bring on the streaming platform, but I also try to bring them on the more traditional audio platform, because, you know, Dean, I have discovered something. There are some people like you, because that's actually what happened with Allison. She was basically an avatar, but there are people like you throughout the world that the reason that they like traditional podcasting is because they don't necessarily want to be seen. And so considering the fact that I'm looking like Caramel Santa Claus and need to see the barber later on, like hopefully tomorrow and everything, I can relate to that feeling. So well, I know what it's like sometimes you're going like, you know, I ain't quite got that GQ look that I want and everything, so maybe I just need to stick with the audio and things of that nature. But I think Allison was actually, I know she had been not feeling all that well earlier, but she definitely gave some great thoughts about fashion, and actually she found fashion industry to be quite diverse, which was an interesting take on the industry compared to some of the other aspects of entertainment. And I can definitely see that, because, you know, a lot of times they're trying to make sure that they are being representative of all styles of cultures. And she was talking about how she can go into a boardroom and see all kinds of amazing people of all kinds of different ethnicities, orientations. Really don't care. They just want to put on some great clothes and all of that. I did tell her a story that I think you'll get a kick out of. And actually, I was just talking to another friend earlier about my brother and what he's done or had done in the past in the area of fostering and adoption. But one of the things that Malik used to tease me about was there was a time frame, and right now folks would probably be like, well, he's in the blue jean phase, but there was a time frame that I was wearing nothing but brown. I think I was like in my corduroy phase, and they were like, I remember Malik came to me one time and he was like, Mark, I don't know what I'm gonna do to get you out of this, but we're gonna get you out of this brown, because I'm sick and tired of looking at you in brown this, brown that, brown this. And I'm already, you know that cafe au lait kind of color, so I'm already brown as it is. So I was probably faded into myself wearing all of that brown and everything, because it was usually that kind of tan brown. So I think Malik and the crew were tired of that, because I remember he was also tired of me looking like McGruff at one point after I had come back in to maybe my late 20s or early 30s. And he was like, no, we got to get you to the barber. And he found me a barber that became my regular barber for a while. Not the guy that I'm hopefully going to see tomorrow, but one that I had over there on the central campus, even though I was well past the college years. But I do remember that Ken, who was my barber back then, and definitely had that typical barbershop kind of vibe, because I remember him even having his fake manly club, or the manly kind of group that he would put together that had that kind of like barbershop vibe of people sitting there and talking trash about each other and what kind of situations they are in. But it was quite humorous. And I remember Ken, who is also a musician, I think he might have even popped in on one of our shows sometime back, but he definitely had that kind of atmosphere, and it was always fun hearing that. But yeah, that's what's going on here. I do know that tomorrow on the network, I'm actually going to be talking to a mayoral candidate. So we've got Javiera Caparrero, and she is running for mayor of Durham. And if she wins, she would be the first Latin American, or Latina, as they like to say, if they are a woman, mayor in Durham, and maybe one of the first ones in the state. But she is going to run, and she's got the endorsement of our current mayor. So she probably has a good shot, but we'll see what happens in that regard. We also got Elaine O'Neill, who's got the endorsement of our powerful African-American PAC, and who is a well-respected judge here in the area. So not saying that Javier has got it in the bag, but I'm thinking that those two are the front runners. There are others that might be wild cards, like Bree Davis, who is a African-American Republican, but definitely part of our activist community. But that would consider her a wild card, and there may be other wild cards there as well. But if I had to like narrow it down to two, I'm thinking that either way we're going to have history. We're either going to have our first African-American woman mayor, or we're going to have our first Latina mayor, because I'm thinking that those two are definitely the front runners. And, of course, the PACs, the political action committees, are falling in place and deciding which way they want to align, because that's what happens in these political things. You decide which way you want to align, and then you go from there. But they are getting their alignment together and figuring out how they want to handle things and what they want to do in that regard. I'm sure y'all are even having that in the New Jersey, New York area, because I know in New York they've had some different things going on. And of course, we do know that y'all, that New York, that is, has a new governor, and she's coming all the way from Buffalo. And I think that may be the first female governor of the state of New York. So I'm sure people are interested in finding out what she's doing, how she's doing it, and whether she's going to do well, as she has apparently inherited quite a mess after Cuomo got caught on all his things and had to get out of all of those things by getting himself out of office. So definitely, I do know that the young lady who is from Buffalo, Governor Kathy Hochul. So she is the official 57th governor of New York. So definitely going to see what kind of things she gets into and everything along those lines. I'm pulling up an article, and there's actually one of the articles in the Post was claiming that she's just Cuomo version 2.0. So they were claiming that she's just another version of the same old things that have been going on. But definitely we'll find out if she's got her own thoughts or if she's just going to be kind of like following in the footsteps of the person that she was lieutenant governor for a number of years. But she apparently once proclaimed that he was truly committed to righting the injustices against women, but she never said a word about the 11 sexual abuse allegations against him. So I'm sure there might be some people that are looking at that going like, wait a minute, you're a woman yourself. Why didn't you say things about that and things along those lines? And apparently she's also got some ties from marriage and other things to lobbyists, and she did call an emergency session to extend the eviction moratorium to temporarily, get folks off of her back in that regard. So, you know, the New York Post isn't exactly a liberal paper, so I'm not going to read everything that they said because they definitely have a certain kind of bend that I may not necessarily agree with. But I do hear what they're saying in that viewpoint and all of that. But I'm thinking when I'm hearing that she's actually has her own voice, because I know it was a couple of days ago that I interviewed a young lady, it might have been last Wednesday, who was part of the COVID survival. She was actually has created her own COVID wellness program, and she actually knows Governor Hochul.
Okay.
She actually knows Governor Hochul. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It just stopped. Okay. So
and she was just saying that she definitely knows some amazing things about her, and she's actually got support for her and things along those lines. So it's just going to be interesting to see what happens in that regard and whether she actually just winds up being another version of Cuomo. But I actually think Cuomo was a pretty decent governor, minus the fact that he did stupid things with the ladies and all of that. But in terms of his politics, I did not mind his liberal politics and all of that. I did not like what he did with the ladies. That was kind of very
and he did that to himself, though.
Correct. He did that to himself. He did not. Yeah, but his policies, in terms of policy concerns, I had no problem with.
Right, I understand.
I'm not a New Yorker, so.
But even still, man, like, I don't know, man. It's just, this is different. You know what I mean? Like, you did some crazy stuff, and now you got to pay for it. You know what I mean? And people are not putting up with it. This is it's the Me
Too
movement times
a thousand,
man.
Yeah, this is the 2020s. But, you know, we've also had some positive news in the world of 2020. And sometimes these positive news, I'm going like, should it really be news? I mean, I'm glad that it's news and it's positive news, but I'm just going to ask you, Dean, do you really care the fact that we're having our first openly gay football player? I'm thinking as long as he getting the job done, that's what really counts.
Man,
apparently he did get the job done because, you know, he actually helped beat your team, which actually I did not like, but he did help
beat
your team.
But you know what? Hold on. You know what? Man, listen, we did a Madden blitz. If you ever play Madden on the Sega Genesis, Sony PlayStation, whatever, what we did last night in that last play with no safety in the back to cover, it was one of those Madden blitzes that just went wrong. So we lost. It is what it is. I'm not mad. It was a great game. Now we're looking for Sunday. It'll be the Kansas City Chiefs, man. At 8:20, we got the night game, right? So, but when you look at the whole thing, I'm watching a game, and then it was like, oh, the first openly gang, and I was like, nobody cares. Can you play football? That's what we want to know. Like, we don't really care that you're gay. It has nothing to do with football. What does it have to do with you playing this sport right here? Nothing. You know what I mean? So when they came out with that, I'm like, here we go. We just can't get away from it, man. Like, everything is being almost kind of like sucked in. I guess that's how I feel. And I may be wrong.
No, I hear you. Along those same lines, I'm thinking the same way about the fact that it's only the third and the first African-American referee. And that was actually in the Jets-Carolina game, which the Panthers did win, which is the other team that I root for when I'm not rooting for my Vikings who lost. But definitely there was a lot of hoopla around, I think her name is Shaka or something like that, about her being the first African-American referee. And, you know, all I'm caring about in that regards is, one, can you make the right calls? Can you do it effectively? Are you good at the job? And can you take the criticism? Because we know that the referee is not the most liked person at any football game whatsoever.
Yeah,
don't care what you do or what gender you are. You can be a daggone horse coming out there or a frog. If you're not making the right call as far as your fan base is concerned,
Yeah. They're
not going to be happy with you. I don't care what you are, whether you're a woman, whether you're gay, whether you're straight, whether you're purple or brown or polka dot. They just want you to make what they consider to be the right call. And like I said, there could be no controversy as to whether it's the right call or not.
Well, you know what? Hey, F up on that call and find out. Because it's one of those things where, like I said, man, no, we don't care. We're at the point now, it's like, are you going to make the right call? Are you going to officiate and do the best job that you can? I'm not worried about your sexual orientation. Whatever you do in your bedroom, man, that is your business. I ain't got nothing to do with it. Never will have anything to do with it. But it seems like now it's just like, oh, yes, they're gay. And I'm like, so what? We don't give a shit.
Like,
no,
and we don't care what gender they are either, like I said, because the young lady, as far as I know, she's straight and everything, but we don't care what gender she is either. We just want to know, can she get the job done? Can she make the call? Can she do it correctly and all of that? And, I mean, I've heard a lot of people looking at the different women. I think there are even some women leagues, and, of course, there are some women that are looking at positions even within the NFL. I think there might even be one or two cases of that. But I think that at the end of the day, if you're going to be a kicker and you're going to be a woman kicker, can you actually kick the ball through those goalposts to either get the field goal or the extra point? I think that that's all your teammates care about. They can care less what your gender is. They just want to know,
give a
can you get the job done
that.
If that is your job?
Right. Good people are good people, and we don't really, you know, we're not going to be sitting here worried about, oh, well, they may be gay or they may be straight. Man, we don't give a damn, because there's some effed up people out here straight. There's some good people out here straight. So why am I going to break somebody's neck just because of their, what you do outside of your, man, just leave me alone. Whatever you do in your bedroom is your fucking business. It's not mine. In fact, I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? I don't care. I really don't. But the way they make things seem, and the way things are all just, I don't know. It's just too much sometimes. Too much.
It's too much, too crazy. I'm really not getting it. I'm not getting why they're all hung up on this and that and all of that kind of mess and everything. Now, I will say, because I was actually having another conversation with a couple of friends and everything, and I was just wondering, because you're busy enough with your work and everything, but I was just wondering, because I know that I've been guilty sometimes of, you know, while we're in the middle of a pandemic, a lot of people have been getting caught up in social media. Like I said, I found some great guests, and I love those guests that I found on social media, but I have to kind of like even chastise myself, because I've probably not been getting enough exercise, not doing enough diets and all that, because sometimes you get too caught up in Facebook, Clubhouse, and some of those other things that are out there. So I was just wondering, because I'm sure it's come up even in some of your organizations that you're a part of, maybe you're not getting involved in them as much, but are you finding some of your coworkers and some of your people that you are involved with, even in some of the organizations, are loving the connection that they're finding from these platforms, but at the same time, they're going like, hey, maybe I'm not getting enough rest. Maybe I'm not getting enough sleep. Maybe I'm spending too much time on these apps. And while I may be gathering some benefit from them, I also need to have the more basic needs of life as well, which of course we all know we need our rest and we need our quality time and a number of other things going on as well. So I'm just wondering what kind of things you're hearing from your peers about both the lure and the power, but also the headaches of social media.
You know what? I stay out of those conversations, man, because I got a whole lot of stuff that's going on between, you know, work and the organization and stuff like that. So I kind of stay away from that that kind of conversation, because it's not my conversation, if you understand what I'm saying. Like, you know, you get sucked into that conversation, and then next thing you know, you're in the middle of an argument and you don't know why. Nah, man, I kind of stay out of that stuff. I let people do what they do. Wish them luck, but don't get caught up in that stuff, man, because you'll mess around. And the next thing you know, it's like, damn, like you said, you know, I need to go and exercise, or I need to go and eat, or, you know, and if you, just like video games for kids, it's an adult distraction, if you will, because you end up stuck and you end up staying in place. The next thing you know, who knows? Then it's all bad.
And it all goes bad and all of that. I was talking to a very dear friend of mine out of the California area, and we were talking about relationships and the powers of relationships. You were actually one of those people that I consider to be a great goal setter in what makes a good relationship, in terms of the way that you treat your wife, the way that you treat your partner in crime, and all of that. So for those that are listening that are trying to figure out what makes a good relationship, I would say that you probably have some of the secrets. So if people are listening to us right now and they want to know what you feel makes a good relationship, I would love to hear your thoughts. And I'm actually also going to be hopefully bringing in a guest later on that might have some ideas of that as well, because that is one of the people I am reaching out for our audio show. But I'd love to hear your thoughts as to what makes you and Miss Diamond such a powerful combination.
Well, first of all, you got to be able to listen. And I say that because, you know, you seek first to understand and then be understood. And a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people want their point to come across and for it to be accepted, for there to be no questions, for there to just be almost a because I said so type of vibe, right? So now you're in this relationship. You're not in a relationship by yourself. So a lot of people get that kind of confused, too. It's like, well, if they don't like it, they can just leave. Well, it's easier said than done. You know, people do not have to put up with your attitude. You know, everybody has a bad day. Don't get me wrong. But when you try to come off as I am the all-knowing and it's my way or the highway, you know what? All right, then let me get on the highway and get the hell out of here, because I don't owe you any damn thing at all. And you don't have to like it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it. Hell, you don't have to do nothing if you don't want to. But being able to have a conversation with your significant other, to be able to talk things through, to be able to disagree, and not turn it into some war of the world. You know what I mean? Like, people have that problem because they don't know how to compromise. And sometimes you just have to say, you know what? We're going to leave this conversation right here because we don't see it the same way. So what we're going to do right now is stop it. You know, not I hate you, or, you know, you need to shut up and listen to me, or any of that crazy stuff. It's just like, let's get it together. Let's come to an understanding, and then let's kind of try to work it out. We have to do something here, and it doesn't involve being rude to each other, or, you know, any of that crazy stuff that happens, man, because it's easy to get into a disagreement. And if you go too far down the rabbit hole, you know, it might be hard to come back, because some things I said that make it difficult to accept, make it difficult to forgive, make it difficult to, you know, even just have that conversation. Like, once it goes left, it's done. So you have to be mindful of the other person, their feelings, their beliefs, what they bring to the table and everything like that, you know, because, like I said, you're not in this by yourself. So it's easy to say, you know, what I say goes. You hear some dudes talking that craziness like, yo, I run my house, you know. Okay, well, nobody, if you have to tell folks that you run your house, do you actually run your house, or does your house run you? You know, and you have to be very careful of the words that come out of your mouth, because a lot of times it's a bunch of trash. People talk a whole lot of shit, man, and they will sit there and make you believe that in their house, everybody bows down to them when they walk in the front door, and they carry themselves like it's something special. But then when you see it in action, you realize, like, this family's looking at him like, man, we don't care about you. Sit your ass down. You know, shut up. Don't say nothing. Shut the fuck up. You know, and they're looking crazy. But you have to be able to have, you know, trust, honesty. You got to communicate. Even sometimes you don't really feel like talking, you got to take a step back, take your feelings out of it so that you can actually get what you're trying to say out without any emotion falling out of your mouth with it. You got to be able to be yourself. And sometimes that means being absolutely silly for no reason at all. Because if you can't make a woman, for fellas, if you can't make a woman laugh, you can't make her feel safe, and she doesn't communicate with you, trust me, you might be dragging her around everywhere on your arm, but her heart is somewhere else. Because somewhere along the line, we got the order disconnected. We believe that, you know, some of us believe, well, we have sex with her, then we'll get to know what she likes, doesn't like, meet her in the mind, and then, you know, or meet her in the heart, and then we figure out all the other stuff as it comes along. And it's the backwards. You need to meet mine first. And then get to know, you know, when you get to know all of the things, likes, dislikes, little things, the little things mean a whole lot. And then at that point, when she feels safe with you, she'll give you her heart. Make sure you take care of it. And then everything else comes after that. But you better have something, because as time goes past and people don't want to believe this, but it's going to eventually happen to all of us, when the sex fades, you better have something to take its place. And the best conversation is when you can sit on the front porch and not say a word, and it'd be the best conversation you ever had. But you got to get to that point. You know, it doesn't just start out with sex, 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 or buying a whole bunch of stuff and trying to impress, you know, because the same way you got her, you got to keep her, or you'll lose her to someone who does. Now, for some guys, that's big things. I'm buying cars, I'm buying jewelry, red bottom shoes, and all of that. But do you remember the little things, the things that matter to her? All those things are nice, but then you're going to get in an argument and she's going to ask you something that's going to sound stupid to you, like, what's my favorite day of the week? And you're going to be like, I don't know, shit, Saturday. But she likes Tuesdays. You know, something as small as that. And your whole train got derailed because you never took the time to find out the things that she likes, because you were too busy focusing on you. So focus on your mate. Pay attention to your mate. Always make your mate smile. Even, you know, don't go to bed angry. That's one of those beatitudes. Trying to think, man. It just takes time, affection, patience, and love. You know, If you don't have those things, you're just going through the motions. And good luck to you, because eventually every road has a stop sign. For some people, that stop sign is when they pass away and go to the next life. But for some people, for others, that's why the divorce rate is so damn high. You know?
Yeah, hey, and you're right. That divorce rate is high, and that's because, like you said, a lot of people aren't doing those important things like communication and actually getting to know each other and do the important things along those lines. And I definitely agree with you that that is vital in any relationship, and definitely finding those commonalities, those things that you both enjoy. But also, I do sometimes think that space is also an important thing, but not too much space, because you don't want to, like, be off in Timbuktu. And when I'm saying space, I'm not even talking about physical distance. I'm talking about, like, giving them their mental space and their emotional space as well. But sometimes you got to, like, let them have their space to process and things along those lines. But I'm not a big worrier about distance space, because I do think that we can change things in that regard. So definitely we can conquer things when it comes down to distance and all of that. So definitely that's some of the things that I think about in that regard. I definitely want to bring up a couple of other issues and everything, but I got to do one other quick thing and everything along those lines. So if we can have just a little bit of music and some spots while I take care of a matter or two, but I'll be right back, because I've got to ask you about something that somebody asked me, and I'll just give you an idea in case you want to come back with the answer after we have this slight musical break. But I was talking to some friends of mine, actually from Australia, or a friend, and I was trying to explain to him the reasons that I think that enterprise zones are all right, the reasons that I feel that it's all right to us to even develop our own business districts, whether that's African-American business districts or Native American business districts or Hispanic business districts. And I think that he was feeling that that was almost a form of reverse racism. And I don't want to put words in it to his mouth and everything, but I did get that impression that he was feeling that that was not as cool as I'm making it out to be, because I do sometimes think that we have to do things to level the playing field. But I think that in this particular case, he was feeling that that's just another form of us maybe being racist, when I was mentioning, like, Black Wall Street, which is something that has been going on historically in Durham, but also there are new Black Wall Streets that are supporting black businesses. And he was like, well, why don't you just support businesses in general? Why does it have to be about supporting black business? And I know that you're involved with the Urban League, and I don't always give as eloquent an answer as you do, so I'd like to hear your answer, because even my answer, as I was trying to defend what I was saying, I was going like, I need Dean to say this, because Dean is better at being eloquent with this kind of stuff than I am sometimes. I mean, I'm pretty good, but I did feel that I could have been more eloquent in my answer. So I'm going to take some notes this time when you give your answer after this musical dead break and everything.
Okay. We'll think of something, man. And when you get back, I'll probably see if I have an answer for that, all right?
All right, sounds good.
All right, y'all, we'll be back in a few minutes. We're going to let this play out and hit you with some Lady Alma, Let It Fall.
old renaissance is the new renaissance, standing on tradition while embracing the spirit of distinction. This is the Harlem Brewing Company. Uniquely crafted beer brewed to deliver a taste, a sound, and a feeling that can only be described in one way, Harlem style. So come and take a trip on the A-Train with our Harlem Sugar Hill Golden Ale and our Harlem Renaissance Whiskey, the neighborhood original.
Are you enjoying the smoothest conversation in podcasting? Straight Talk with Dean and Mark. Hi, this is DJ Smooth Jazz, syndicated radio host and co-owner of Portfolio Group LLC, your smooth jazz lifestyle and entertainment group with offices in Durham, North Carolina. Portfolio Group LLC specializes in promoting the lifestyle of smooth jazz listeners with the promotion of smooth jazz events and the distribution of African-American-owned wines. For more information, PortfolioGroupLLC.com, or you can swing by my secondary site, DJSmoothJazz.com. Now back to Straight Talk with Dean and Mark.
Hey, Dean, you back?
Yep, we're back.
Oh, we're back. That's a good thing.
We're back.
So what is your thoughts about that? Because like I said, I've had that conversation with a couple of people in that whole Urban League space, or that whole space of civil rights and rentals. I've also had people that have been wondering about our rental situation and how a lot of people are going to be facing rental problems, as a lot of those moratoriums, and I referenced it in New York, have been either extended or threatened, and in some cases not extended, and some of the courts are actually going to start trying people again. Y'all people in the courts, in the correction system, might be getting real busy if we go after all these people that haven't paid their rent and everything. So y'all might be busier than y'all want to be.
No, I don't think so, because you know what? That wasn't a crime. Here's the thing. You got to look at certain factors that come into play now. You know, okay, you gave them a moratorium, but were they working? You know, were they earning any money? Now, if they were working and earning money and then they didn't have to pay the rent, something in their mind should have asked the question, what happens when this is over? So that's partially a part of it. Another part, maybe they could have paid something on the rent, even if they didn't have all of it, to pay some of it. The ability to pay would keep a creditor off your back, even with credit cards and all of those other kind of things. But were the terms actually explained? Because if they weren't, then there's fault that could be seen on both sides. Easiest way to fix that, hey man, put it on the back end, you know what I mean? Or just forgive it altogether. You've been operating right now with, you know, them, yeah, you want your money for your space, but this is a circumstance that is beyond anyone's control. That I'll put like this, everyday citizen, because we still don't know if it was man-made or what have you. There's a lot of speculation. Nobody can prove one thing or the other. But what we do know is there's a pandemic. A lot of people have passed away from it, and it's still killing people. So that we do know. All of the other stuff, let's throw it to the side, because no one is actually going to get to the bottom of it and figure out what is what, A, B, or C, and all of this other crap. Let's get rid of all of that. The what ifs, coulda, woulda, it should have been this or whatever, we don't care. What we do know is people are passing away, and something has to be done. You got, okay, they were giving out the stimulus checks and paying folks a little bit extra for the unemployment, to the point where some people left their jobs because they made more money sitting at home than they did working a job every day. So now they cut all of that off. And now they're like, okay, well, the bill is due. We gave you a whole lot of money now. What did you do with it? So, you know, there's fault to be made on both sides from where I stand. I'm not going to point fingers in either direction. It's just like, well, we're going to see how this plays out. But I don't see them being criminally convicted because of something that was told to them. Hey, don't worry about your rent. Well, the average person may not have the fiscal responsibility to ask, okay, if I don't have to pay for the next 12 months, what happens in month 13? You know, for somebody who's not making a lot of money, you say, I can still live here and I don't have to pay you. Thank God for blessings. And that's the only thing that they're worried about. So, you know, like I said, some people can find fault, but you got to find fault on both ends. You know what I mean?
No, I agree with you. Definitely got to find fault on both ends. And that's kind of where I was going with my friends I was talking to from Australia and others about enterprise zones. Because I'm going like, look, if there's not enough of these jobs that have been created and we need to level the playing field, I see nothing wrong with actually creating jobs that are going to give us more opportunities if we've not had opportunities in certain businesses. Like, I've got no problem with us trying to create more STEM kind of companies in the African-American community if we don't have enough STEM companies into those communities. And I don't think that we got to bring a white STEM company into the middle of, say, Harlem, or in the middle of the Bronx, or in the middle of Watts, if we can have programs that are going to help us create those kind of businesses in our community and use our resources and even maybe give back like we like our athletes to do when they can. And I actually had the pleasure recently of meeting a gentleman that is played with Michael Jordan, and he was actually praising LeBron for doing exactly that. He was saying that LeBron hired a bunch of his friends from high school at like $350,000 a job. LeBron, if you're listening, I'll take one of those jobs. I'll take it right now, no problem whatsoever. So, LeBron, if you're listening, I will take one of those jobs. You don't have to ask me anything. I'll just take the job, and I'll do a good job at it and everything. But, LeBron, if you're listening, Mark Lee and Dean are available. I'm going to speak for Dean and his family. I think we're both available for that job if you're listening. So, am I all right speaking for you, Dean, if he wants to offer the $350,000 job?
Well, you know, I wouldn't mind. I just need to do it part-time because I sure – do plan on getting the last 6 years out of this deal, ending up with 29 total and having them cut me a check too. So, you know, I got to have my multiple stream of income. I can't cut off my nose to spite my face right now. But if he can give me a part-time job, $150, I'd do that too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, can be good.
But it's
part-time
one of those
job
things.
$160, yeah.
Yeah, man, I'll see what I can do to work that out. Now,
yeah,
when you talk about businesses, what is being produced? What, you know, things that we have to think about. Number one, everybody cannot, and I say this, and I don't care who gets mad with me, I'm speaking for myself based on the experience and what I've seen in my life. Everybody cannot own a business. There are some people who are not meant to own a business. And it has nothing to do with anyone except themselves, because they have to learn first that it's not about them. It's about the people that they are serving. You know what I mean? Everybody would like to own a business. Some people, I'm one of those people. I'm like, you know what? I'm not really big on, because I'm not trying to work from 9 a.m. to 8 a.m. And if you don't work, you don't eat and all that kind of stuff. I'm just not one of those people. I tried it before. Didn't work out. Not for me. Too many hours, not enough return on what I invested in time. You know, so, but you also have to remember what product are you producing? Who are you producing it for? How many people are you able to employ, but not only give them a job, but also give them benefits? Insurance, dental, vision, health insurance, child care assistance, you know, all of these different things. I'll tell you, man, I'll give you an example. A friend of mine showed me this thing, and I wrote it down because I was like, dang, this is rough. So they have medication, right? They just got a refill of the medication, and they had to pay $48. If they did not have insurance, the retail price of their medication, just for a 90-day supply of medication, was $1,967.99 for 90 pills.
Wow.
They saved $1,919.99 by having insurance. So, you know, when people say, oh, I'm going to employ 30 people, are you able to give 30 people benefits? And not just some, Rudy Pooh benefit package. Give them something that actually is beneficial. They can put their children and their significant others on, and it'll take care of them in a time in which they need it. You know, so having those zones, yes, just have a plan, market it, and don't restrict your customer base. Money is green. If you're providing a service and it's an outstanding service, oh, we'll be glad to say you have a black-owned business that's phenomenal. We're going to spread the word. You know, word of mouth is one of the bigger things to help launch or tank a business. So, you know, you come out the gate, you got awesome service. I mean, just like when we went to Kelsey, shout out to Kelsey's Atlantic City. There's a gentleman there who's a waiter, and I can't remember his name now. I wish I could, but shout out to him, man. When we went down there, outstanding service. Like, he wasn't pesty, but he was on his game. As soon as your glass was empty, he didn't come and say, hey, is that a Dr. Pepper? You had another glass coming down to the table. Boom. Brought out your food. And he worked that whole section by himself. And he's one of those people, I guess, he was like, you know what? I don't need anybody in my way. Let me rock out with my table. And he rocked out. And when we gave him that tip, you know, sometimes when you tip, you're trying to figure out, hey, is this enough? Or, you know, we gave him that tip, and we were like, no, bro. This is yours. And now I have to call my cousin, because when we go back down there, that's what we're looking for. If he's not working that day, I don't know if I want to eat in there. I'm still eating there because they had good food. But at the same time, he made the experience that much more pleasurable, you know. So for someone on the outside that has not grown up, and, you know, I grew up in the South. I live in the North now, but not a lot of, you can see when that disdain for our folks is there, even with some of our own folks. So it's not just, you know, white people. It's not just, it's everybody. Someone who doesn't like us, you can easily pick up on it. And unfortunately, some of those who don't like us look just like us. And so when you, for us, when we say, you know, My partner, homeboy down in Virginia, has a barbershop. So if you ever in the Colonial Heights, Petersburg, Virginia area, make sure you stop by Illusions Barbershop. You got to book it, though, and get your hair cut by Shahid, or get your hair cut by Guru, or get your hair cut by Mr. Boo, because they all provide outstanding service to get your hair right. And for the ladies, you know, there's some beauticians down there that get your head right, get you straight, you know, and being able to go there and get your service, be satisfied with your service, and then tell other people to be sure to go and support. So it's a lot different for us, because for everybody else, they don't experience the things that we experience. They could walk into a bank, no business plan. Hey, I want to open this grocery store. How much money are you going to need? Probably need $1 million. Okay, what are you putting
only
up
a million deeds?
But I'm just using this as an example. And so they say, well, what are you going to put up against it? Okay, I put up my house and I own two cars. I'm going to put that up as collateral. That shit ain't even worth $1 million that they're driving. But guess what? They will... Do you have a business? You have a registered business? Yes, I do. Okay, well, we're going to give your business $1 million to start this grocery store. We could come in with business plans, projections, outlooks, outcomes. It could be, you know, with the synopsis and everything that explains from beginning to end how we're going to procure the building, who we're going to get for our inventory, how much the inventory is going to cost. We could have everything. We could even have collateral, whether it be our own or someone who is partnering with us, that's worth the amount that we're asking, and they'll still ask for more. Or they may deny us. So you know, when people don't understand that struggle alone, walking into a restaurant, and if you've ever gone into a higher end restaurant, you can feel some of the stares like, can they afford this? Do they really belong here? You know, and it's like, that's none of your business. But I'm going to eat this meal and I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to have a good time while I'm here. I don't know if I'm going to be coming back. Depends on how I'm treated while I'm there. You know, but we run into a few more obstacles than some other people do. So when we look at it through our glasses, we have to reinforce the frame, make sure the lenses are clean, and put the scratch guard on it. And then we got to duck, because the hammer's going to come sometimes from the person standing right beside you. So we look at all of these different things and we wonder, how can we get it done? And there's some of us who make it happen, and salute to each and every one of them that get up and provide a service or have some type of business that they're running and sustaining. Salute to each and every one of you, because I know it was not an easy road to travel. But when you don't have these problems, you can't see these problems. So for someone coming from Australia who may not have ever experienced racism a day in their life, whether it had been overt, covert, or what have you, they've never really experienced it. So they don't know what it looks like. They don't know being told no. You know, like I said, we're only 53 years now from losing the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And then after that, that's, you know, civil rights bills passed and all of that stuff. It's only been 53 years. So some of the individuals who grew up in hate and passed it down and they passed it down, they're still living. And they're still passing down that hate. Some people have never met that hate, so they don't know what it looks like. They don't know how to deal with it, whether mentally or, you know, physically doesn't always work. It's better to use your brain than to use your, you know, any fool can fight. But it's how you fight. And when you go in the mental route, some people don't know how to handle that because their mental capacity may not be as vast as ours. You know, we're not a stupid people.
I definitely, like, with everything you were saying there, is very powerful statements that you were making. I do have to ask you, because you're up there in New Jersey, how the 9/11 celebrations went, because a lot of people this past weekend were paying attention to 9/11. It's the 20th year anniversary, and a lot of people were reflecting on where they were. I know that on that day, many years ago, I was actually on my way to WNCU for a staff picture. And I remember that I think either the day before or a couple of days before, I had done my show and was actually catching the bus and heard the radio and the chatter of the attacks. And at first I was thinking it was a War of the Wars teledrama or something along those lines. And then when I got to the station and everybody was frantically running to the older versions of the computers and was checking out what was happening, and I was going like, oh, this is real. This is really happening right now and all of that. So I do remember that being the case and going like, whoa, this is truly the real deal and all of that. So then I frantically called friends of mine that lived in that area, meaning New York, and got involved with seeing how they were doing and what was happening in their life. So after that happened, then I moved on, and, you know, fortunately I did not lose any friends from that incident, even though I did have some that went into the military and served one of the longest wars we've ever had, because I believe that the Afghanistan war has got the history of the longest war in United States history and all that. You've been beating Vietnam and Korea and World War One and World War Two, so it is one of the longest running wars that we've ever had ever. So we've lost a lot of lives, not just in the pandemic, but through that war. And I do know that a lot of people are saying that the ratings have been tanked recently by Mr. Biden in terms of his support and things along those lines. But, Dean, what was going on in your life some 20 years ago when that fateful attack happened, and it was such a tragic moment, and many of us were locked in our houses even during that time, but not for almost a year and a half or 2 years as we've been doing during this pandemic, but definitely it impacted a lot of us. And I'm just thinking about our kids and what they have gone through in life. I mean, they've gone through this devastating war. They've gone through horrible hurricanes and other natural disasters. They've now gone through a pandemic and a number of other things that we could talk about, including the Black Lives Matter movement, Me Too, and a number of other things. But how were you doing during that fateful day?
You know what? I was off work that day because we have what we call RDOs, regular days off. And that was the first of two regular days off. So, you know, I was kind of like laying in the bed watching TV. And when I turned the channel, I was like, well, I don't know what movie this is on at 8 o'clock in the morning, but let me watch it to see what happens. And then, you know, you look at the screen, it says live. And I'm like, live? What the hell is this? It's the World Trade Center. It's smoking, you know. And then as the one person is on the phone, and I remember hearing the reporter kind of, you didn't see this, and you didn't see it. And they were like, man, I'm telling you what I saw. You know, it happened. And as they were on the phone, that's when that tech tower got hit. And I was like, okay, what the hell is going on in New York? You know what I mean? And then it just stayed fixated on it until the towers fell. So you actually got to see it fall in real time. But it's like, this can't be happening. Let me call some of my people that live at the time. I was still in Virginia. So, you know, I'm like, let me call some of my people to see if they're all right. All circuits are busy now. Damn. All right, well, let me try to call them in Jersey. I try to call New York first. All circuits are busy. All right, let me try to call Jersey. All circuits are busy. I'm like, man. So now I go to the mall because Jay-Z's album dropped that day. And I had said the night before, I'm going to get the new album. And ended up watching it, you know, as I walked through the mall, all the TV. And Radio Shack had it on. So watched it there for a few minutes, went back home and just watched for the rest of the day. And you saw people walking across the bridge, you know, just kind of like in a daze. And it was rough, man. It was rough, you know. And then we started getting calls because they wanted us to report back to work just in case there were other terrorist attacks. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So now my 2 days are gone, but, you know, the world changed. Partially, when you look at it now, 20 years later, you know, what were we fighting with them for? Why did we let all of these people into this country not knowing what they were going to do? And then they ended up, it's almost like, they ended up saying, you know, haha, thank you, but we're going to tear up your toys now because we don't want to play with you anymore. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it just doesn't make sense. But a whole lot of people lost their lives off of something that, did we have to be there? People are mad now because we're leaving. We should have never been there. We should have never been there. And a whole lot of people have died in these 20 years. And I don't think anybody can really explain what we were there for. Now, that's something for you right there. You know what I mean? Like, how are we going to explain this? How do you explain to a child that their father or mother or brother or cousin or sister or whoever it may be lost their life fighting the quote-unquote war on terror? What interest do we have other than the oil in someone else's backyard? And even then, you look at when we talk about the oil, it's all a money grab because when they get mad at each other, the prices go up. Gas prices get high as hell. When they're friends again, goes down. How many times you going to be mad at the same motherfucker and then you're going to keep dealing with them in a nice way? You know what I'm saying? They like they see who can one up on doing who the worst, but then you turn around and they're still over there. What kind of relationship is that? I don't know. Maybe I'm dumb.
You know, it's crazy, and I agree with you, and I'm sitting there going, like, we've been in this 20-year war, and, you know, it's even like a lot of the other wars that we've declared and created, and a lot of times you're sitting there going, like, one, is it a winnable war, and what is the actual war about? Me and you have talked about the war on drugs, the war on crime, and the war on a number of other things as well, and I'm going, like, wait a minute. First off, are these winnable wars, and two, who is really gaining in these wars? Because a lot of times it is the industrial complex that is actually making a lot of money on the wars and things of that nature. And I hate to put it this way, but I would even argue that that's what's happening even in some of the great wars that we've had in our country, and particularly those more recently, like Afghanistan, like Grenada, and like a number of others. You know, I think that you've been one of those people that has said, follow the money, and I think that if we follow the money, we might find that there's a lot of corporations that are making a whole lot of money off of basically death and destruction, and I think that they ought to be personally ashamed of themselves and things of that nature. But, you know, they're not, and they're actually sacrificing our young people's lives and definitely doing it over some vain things that really don't have anything to do with true loyalty or even true patriotism in my mind. Like you were saying about other things, some folks might get mad at what I'm saying, but I'm just being real with the way that I feel about it, because I think that a lot of times these wars that we declare are totally unjust and unfair. I was also having a discussion with a friend of mine who was like, the United States doesn't have political prisoners, and I was like, yeah, right. Tell that to Leonard Peltier.
Really?
Tell that to the people from MOVE. Tell that to the Black Panthers. Tell that to some other people that I know that are sitting in jail. And part of the reason they're sitting in jail is because of the political stances that they took. They might have caught them on tax charges. They might have caught them on other charges. But let's be real as to why some of them are in these prison cells and things that are around the country and things of that nature. So I'm not going to sit there and say that we do not have political prisoners in the United States. Does that mean that I'm ready to move? No, because I do love the United States, and I definitely am a fan of this country and definitely think that we have some great attributes, but I also am realistic and know that we don't need to be trying to paint things in rose-colored glasses all the time, because the truth of the matter is that there are some harsh realities to the United States as well. I've also had some friends that have told me, well, y'all don't need to teach that part of history. And I'm going like, no, that part of history needs
that,
to be taught.
You know what?
I can call it critical race theory or whatever else you want to call it.
You can call it, you can give it a pretty name and dress it up. But what you need to do is teach. In fact, parents, let's start teaching this like the elders taught us at home. And you don't have to worry about, you know, the school doesn't have to teach a damn thing. It's okay. But what we will learn is the truth. And what we will know is what really happened. You know, like, we don't have to, you don't have to teach it in school. That's okay. But make sure, on the flip side of that, don't teach me about George Washington, whose life really doesn't do anything for me. You can tell me the glossy version of Abraham Lincoln, but he really didn't free the slaves for the reasons you believe he did. And he admitted
exactly.
If he could have kept the Union together without freeing a single slave, he said he would have done so. So Abraham Lincoln, you're garbage too. You know what I mean? Don't tell me about Thomas Jefferson, who had Sally Hemings living under the floor of his room so he could bring her up and have sex with her and she have all his children. And then his descendants weren't recognized by the rest of them for decades. Don't tell me about
that. Hey, Dean, I got one for you. Don't tell me about the American Constitution when you won't acknowledge the Iroquois Nation, which was actually the foundation for the American Constitution.
Well, you got to remember they said we hold these truths. That's the preamble, right? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and all of this stuff. And what some of us have to realize is when they wrote this, we weren't considered men. We were considered property. So when someone says, all men are created equal, yeah, but your grandfather or great-grandfather was not considered in that equation when they said all men. Because they treated us and they looked at us as less than animals, sexual objects, and things to beat on. So, hey, man, yeah, is it time to get it right? It's way past time to get it right. However, nobody's brave enough to put it up there. The people that were brave enough to put it up there, they fought them tooth and nail. And unfortunately, those individuals are now ancestors. There's some that are still alive, but you know, you got the majority saying, what do we need this critical race theory for? Because you need to tell the truth. Because the slaves were not happy out in the fields singing and jumping around and gleeful and joy, you know, joyful. They were picking that cotton because if you didn't have a certain amount in your satchel, you were beaten or worse. They sang those songs.
Along the same lines.
You know, those songs were messages to each other.
Right.
And how was the cold crack? Because one of us decided to tell it, thinking that they were going to get in some good graces. So they told it all. The same way some of our people sold out the rest of our people into slavery. There's no way in hell you could tell me a boat just rolled up on Africa and motherfuckers just got in. That's impossible. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make sense.
No, I thoroughly agree with you. But, you know, we've been having folks who've been doing sellouts for a long time. I can even talk about Black Wall Street, both here in Tulsa, I mean, in Durham, as well as that in Tulsa and a number of other places. You know, we can't say that it was just the highway alone that destroyed these systems, but it was also some people in our society that took the money and ran because they were basically sold out on their people. And they were like, look, I'm going to take this money. I'm going to run. I don't care that you're pretty much destroying everything that we're about. I'm going to make my money and I'm going to make it real quick. And I could care less about the rest of y'all because it's all about me, me, and me. And there were some definite sellouts within that category, some that might have been part of even some of the big families. I know here in the Durham, some of those sellouts may have been related to the Dukes, but they were also part of the African-American population as well. But definitely there are a number of people that might have been doing some serious selling out in that regard. So, you know, we got to call it out throughout history. And I was just wondering, Dean, what are your thoughts about us even sometimes going to other countries and trying to dictate their way of life? Because I know we've been doing this for a number of decades, whether it's going to Afghanistan and complaining about the way that they treat their women and the way that they treat certain parts of their society. And we could even say that we've done the same thing in certain Latin American countries and other places. But I was just wondering your thoughts when you see that. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on, because I've seen it on both the Democratic and the Republican side. But don't you think that sometimes we need to stay out of other people's business and let them handle their own business? I'm not saying that if there are serious human rights infractions, that we can't bring that to people's attentions and try to make some sort of corrections within that. But I do think that sometimes we get a little bit too much in our way and think that we know it all when we don't even know their culture as much as they know their own. But I'd love to hear your thoughts about that.
Man, to be honest, it's none of our business, but we always insert ourselves, and when I say ourselves, I'm speaking of the United States, always in somebody else's business, man. Like, you can't make these people do what you want them to do. You're trying to force feed them democracy. Maybe they don't want to do it that way. Maybe they want to continue to have their dictatorship. You know what I mean? But you can't get mad because, and I'll say this, with all the stuff that's happening now with these foreign countries, had they left Muammar Gaddafi alone, had they left Saddam Hussein alone, would these new world terrorists be doing what they're doing now? Hell no, because they would have done it 30, 40 years ago. But when you have, you know, these guys that are running these countries, like, you know what, if y'all keep tripping, I'm just going to kill everybody. You don't have to like it, but you don't have to like it. You know, deal with it. Catch these hands, catch these bullets, whatever you want to do, but y'all gonna sit down and relax before I blow this whole shit up. And people did it. So now they're gone. So now you have the Taliban like, yo, get out of Afghanistan. What these people are telling you, get out. And you're like, all right, well, we're gonna take some people. No, that's not what they said. They said, get out. Like, get your people. I'll give you this amount of time to get your people, and y'all go back to where you came from. And after that, if anybody's left, they dying. But you don't listen, and you think that everybody's on your time. These people are not on your time. They do not mind becoming martyrs for what they believe in, as opposed to we're sending our young men and women into war zones, and they don't know if they're going to come back. If they do come back, they come back with PTSD, all kinds of health conditions, missing limbs, body parts missing, you know, all messed up. They ask for none of that. But then on the flip side, you got them, man, they will strap bombs to their chest, walk up in a spot and blow it and everything around it up because they don't mind. When you're dealing with somebody who has accepted death and is not afraid of it, you might want to get the hell away from them. Stop trying to force feed your beliefs on other people. Meanwhile, in this country, we have people who are homeless, people who are about to be homeless because of this eviction thing that's going on, people who suffer from substance abuse, domestic violence, you know, folks that can't read. We got a whole bunch of issues right here. People who don't have a marketable skill to earn a living in a trade because maybe college wasn't their thing. But we don't take care of our own first. We're worried about shipping, and call me an asshole if you want. But you got all these Afghans now that you brought into the country. Man, what the fuck? Where they going to go?
Yep, we got, you got people a point
that,
there, but
that
I
were
got...
born on this land, people that were born on this land about to lose their houses and maybe everything they have. And you're bringing more people in here and talk about something they need, their refugees. They need the refuge back over across the water. No disrespect, but until we start taking care of our own, I don't give a damn about nobody else coming into this country, man.
I hear you. I will say just one thing that may be slightly a disagreement with that and everything, Dean, mm-hmm. because I do think that the Dreamers, those that have been here in terms of, like, they've been here for generations, and there are some of the young Latinos and Latin folks
that's
that they actually
though.
Do need to be here and need to be kept here and all of that, because that's only, I would argue, in support of them. But I hear what you're saying about these
Afghan refugees.
They were born on this land.
They were born on this land. So if you were born on this land, okay, you're a part of us, no disrespect, but I don't care what heritage you claim, you're American. You know what I mean? Whether it be African-American, Latino, American, Hispanic, American, whatever you want to call it. You were born on this land, yeah, they need to be taken care of as well. But when you start importing people from other places, hey, man, wait a minute. We got to take care of these people. We got these folks over here. You talk about kicking them out, but you letting these folks in. What's the difference? You've been over there blowing up shit in their country for 20 years, and now you want to save them. Get the fuck out of here.
Now, I hear you, but I was going to actually bring up another point as well to come to even one of the points that you were making, which is that sometimes we also need to be ashamed of ourselves, because you mentioned Gaddafi, and you also, I might have mentioned in the past shows, Noriega, but we need to be really ashamed of ourselves when we sit there and we train these folks in how to do these military tactics. We've even trained them in some cases in how to torture people. Because let's be for real, there's been some training in torture within our military complexes and things of that nature. And then we get upset when they turn around and put that back on their own people, and then we want to turn around on the same folks that we basically trained. So let's be for real. And sometimes we train them for a specific reason, because they were helping with the drug trade, which we actually, in some cases, want to put into certain parts of our society. So we're not really trying to fight a war on drugs when the war on drugs is actually going into some of our hard-hit neighborhoods, like those of the hard parts of the country. And when I say country, I'm talking about rural America, but also in our inner cities. Let's be real where we're targeting these drugs, and let's also be real who these drugs are coming from.
Let's really talk about it. Like, the United States government is responsible for putting the drugs into the communities the same way they are dropping off assault weapons in places like Chicago and other big cities. And then it's like, all right, well, we put that in there. And if for those who may be a little younger, they don't remember the Iran-Contra scandal with General Oliver North, and they made him the fall guy, and it made it seem like, you know, all these things were happening, but they had to find a way to pay for, you know, they traded the drugs for the guns. They brought the gun, the drugs into the communities. Well, they needed somebody to push them off. Well, government employees weren't going to work out too well, so they went to impoverished neighborhoods where individuals had difficulties finding work. And it was like, you know what? Hey, man, some of them were getting high, so they're like, all right, well, we're serving, we're helping. Killing two birds with one stone. We're helping half of these folks make money. We're helping half of these folks get high. So now we're doing a service. But, oh, shit, wait a minute. Some of our own people are now, you know, we didn't expect everybody to start getting high. So now we got a problem. We got to fight this right here. We're going to call it the war on drugs. It's as old as I am. It started in 1973. And you mean to tell me in 48 years, you still have no control over it? No, you don't, because what you thought was going to be a control experiment got away from you. So a lot of people started getting hooked on those drugs, and they would do any and everything to get it. So now what you thought was going to happen didn't, other than the fact that you can actually go somewhere and say, I bought my house, my cars, and everything with drug money. Now you can seize all my stuff and sell it at an auction and damn near give it away and make money off of it, put the drugs back on the street, and it's a catch and release. It's like fishing. And for 48 years, they've been doing nothing but fishing. And it's still
been fishing for a long time. Speaking of fishing, and I'm not going to lie, I did get mine and everything, but do you think that there might be some fishing going on with the vaccines? Because, you know, they say we got to get these two shots, and I've gotten my two shots. But they're also saying we've got to get booster shots at some point as well. And, of course, a lot of people are going that they don't even know 100% what's in those chemicals. And I do know that if you look at things in your refrigerator, you might be surprised at some of the things that you find in your refrigerator in terms of goods and things of that nature. I was actually learning that in some women's cosmetics, and this was actually in one of those rooms I was talking about in social media, that there is actually placenta from children that are in some of those cosmetic products. And that actually shocked me, but apparently there's even a treatment called the vampire treatment that is about putting your own blood back into yourself and the things along those lines. So there's some very scary things that are out there. But I was just wondering your thoughts about some of these drugs that we may be maybe even getting tested on, for all we know.
You know what? If it keeps me alive, I don't really give a fuck what's in it. Because if you try to figure out what's in it, it's going to drive you nuts, man. Maybe some of these things, and I look at it, and I say that because when you look at before all of this science and all of this stuff came about, how did individuals, even though they didn't live like super long lives, but how did they treat themselves for certain ailments? What did they use? You know, and how did they deal with those different things. So, you know, when it comes to that, I'm like, listen, if it keep me alive, then, you know, and I don't have, like, I'm not growing extra finger or extra toes, and I'm not having heart problems, or I'm not going crazy. You know what? I'm not even going to worry about what's in it. You said a vaccine will keep me from, you know, greatly reduce my chances of getting this virus. Let me get that shot. You know what I mean?
Now, well, some actually, that's interesting you say that, because one of the things I read was that 1 in 11 of the unvaccinated people, or it was some statistic like that, there was a whole lot of people that were going to get it if they do remain unvaccinated. There was a good shot that they were going to actually suffer some sort of consequence by not getting the shot. And I'm going, like, I'm with you. I'm not trying to take those chances. That's just why I went ahead and everything.
Let me go ahead and keep myself alive. So if that means getting this shot, all right, well, let me get this shot real quick. Because the statistics say the unvaccinated are 11 times more likely to die, because when they get it, it's whipping their ass. You know what I mean? It's beating the hell out of them. So, you know what? You don't have to, you know, you don't have to get it. It's all good. It's okay. It's okay. If you don't want to get it, that's on you. But when you die, best believe. You know what I mean? Like, you just got to use your brain, man. The mind is a terrible thing to waste, but it's also a crazy thing to play with. So, yeah, we don't know what's in it. Hell, we don't know what's in half of the stuff that we eat. When you read the side of a label and it has 300 different damn things in it, and you're like, I'm not reading all that shit. You know what I mean? Like, it tastes good. I'm going to eat it. You know?
Yeah.
And some things are good for us. Some things are not. Some things will contribute to, you know, other ailments and stuff like that. Some things have medicinal purposes. It all depends on what you're going to deal with. And it's crazy, but it's not crazy at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yep, you're absolutely right. What do you think about those people that don't want to wear their mask? Because I'm sitting there going, like, why are you not going to wear your mask when you come into a public building? I mean, it's a simple piece of cloth. It's not going to cost you a lot. You can go get the mask up. If I go on a mask transportation ride, they got bus masks all over the bus. So I can grab a bus all the time if I want to. I probably got several of them that I collected from bus rides. So it's easy, accessible, and all of that. I mean,
you know what I think, man, and honestly, you don't have to wear your mask. I'm not mad at you. When you get that fucking virus, though, don't be on TV like the other dudes that was like, you know what, yeah, people that wear masks, they're stupid, they're this, they're that. And next thing you know, you see them on a ventilator, and they're like, I wish I would have gotten a shot. Well, too bad, so sad, but go on and die with the rest of the dummies, because you know what? I'm not getting into an argument with someone who refuses to wear their mask. I'm wearing my mask to protect myself and anyone that may come around. So let's all be safe together. But then there are people who still go to the bathroom and walk out without washing their hands, and they cough in public and sneeze and blow their nose at dinner tables and all kinds of crazy stuff. So you know what? If you don't want to wear your mask, it's perfectly fine with me, because I'm going to have mine on. So I've gotten to the point where I don't give a fuck. And I say it like that, and I know it's raw as hell, but at the same time, that's how I feel, man. It's like, you don't want to get the shot, you don't want to wear the mask, no problem. If you die, you die. I feel like Ivan Drago, right? Like, if you die, you die. I'm not going to be concerned with you getting sick and you passing away because you didn't want to wear a mask. I got better shit to do than to worry about if you're going to put your mask on or not. So when you die, I'm going to say, look at that dumb motherfucker. Like, all they had to do was wear the mask, but you know what? Too proud for that. So just go ahead and die like a true champ, man. You're going to be all right.
just go ahead and take them all down
just,
and all of
yeah,
that.
Just go ahead and get to the afterlife, dog, because I'm not going to feel bad for you. I am not shedding a single tear because you decided that you wanted to do what you wanted to do. It's okay. It's all right. I'm not going to feel bad at all. I'm not going to, you know, shed a tear, anything. I'm just going to say, oh, well, because life goes on. And you can either go on with it, or you can let life pass you by, or you can give up. It's up to you. It's up to you.
Speaking of life passing you by, and I mentioned it earlier when we started this show and everything, and that was the California recall. So I know we're all the way on the other coast, but, you know, California is one of those interesting states. It definitely elected Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is definitely a Republican governor, but it's also had some very liberal governors like Jerry Brown and others that I can think of, and it definitely seems that it has some conservative sides as well as some not so conservative sides, and definitely most people would say that most of California is very liberal, but in talking to people from that state, they've told me that it's got some conservatives as well. So definitely I know that the whole campaign now is coming down to Mr. Newsom and what he may have done in the sense of dealing with the fires and dealing with a lot of other things within that particular powerful state. But then on the flip side of that, he's got an opponent that people are saying is Trump in blackface. So I was just wondering what your thoughts are in the sense of what's going to happen with this recall. Do you really care being there in the New Jersey area, or is it something that you're paying attention to on the national front? And we can even say that about Texas as well, where they had a whole discussion about when does a baby start. And they have apparently believed that it starts at a very young age, and they've got some very strict rules that have been passed recently around abortion. And I actually think that those rules are very draconian and very harsh in my mind. Others may disagree. I don't know if even Dean's going to disagree. But when I'm sitting there, I'm going like, wait a minute, y'all are really playing politics with a woman's body. But that's just my thoughts. But I'd love to hear your thoughts about what's going on there in Texas and in California as well, because we are global, but also a national show as well. So I'd love to hear your thoughts. And, of course, we will be bringing in guests as we regularly did on Monday as we're making this transition to different days because of Dean's busy work schedule. And also, I've been doing some stuff on Monday as well, so it actually frees me up to not be as busy with some of the things that I've got going on the network.
Right.
So definitely, what are your thoughts about those pockets of the nation, meaning California and Texas and some of the things that they've got going on, California with the recall election and Texas with this whole abortion thing where they've decided that babies start at a very young age?
You know what? For me, man, babies start when they are born. That's how I feel. Because if that's the case, then we should all backdate our birthdays for at least 9 months, which would make my birthday sometime next month. I was born in July, right? So if I go back 9 months, I have to go back to October, which would put me at
late,
about...
So I think you'd be the end of October. Yeah, you were a Halloween
well,
baby.
Well, actually, I was born 4 days early. So my mother said my due date was supposed to be the 4th of August. So if I backdate 9 months, then my birthday would be November 4th, which I would turn 49 this year. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we count birthday. How can you count a birthday? Okay, you're counting the day they were introduced to the world. But you're saying that life begins at conception. But then that should be the born date. Because if you are alive, then guess what? You see what I'm saying?
No, I'm with you, and I'm agreeing with you.
Looking at
a lot can happen.
So anything can happen in those 9 months.
Exactly.
And if a person chooses to no longer want to be a parent, they should have that right. And, you know, because who's going to take care of these babies? You know, you're quick to take them from people. You're quick to say, you know, Child Protective Services, you're not treating your child right, so we're going to have to take them from you and put them in foster care. But when these individuals are asking for help before they have their children, you're like, oh, well, you can get welfare, you get food stamps and WIC. And no, that's not the help that they're looking for. So who's helping to take care of these babies? You see what I'm saying? Like, they don't do that part. So what happens? What really happens in this situation? You know what I mean? So for me,
I'm with you on that. I thoroughly agree.
Once a child is born, out of the womb, into the world, life begins. You can't raise a child that's in the womb. You can't teach them nothing. You know what I mean? So it's just, to me, like, yeah, miss me with all of that extra shit. You know, and then Texas, here we go. Texas is one of the weirdest states in the union. Wasn't Texas the last state to abolish, well, that we're told to let your slaves go or we're going to tear this motherfucker up. You know what I mean? Like, June 1st, 1863, all slaves were henceforth and forever free, which led to the watch night services. So 1862, December 31st, black folks were watching the night pass away because they knew when the next day came, they were free. They may not have had a plan. They may not have known where they were going to go, but they knew one thing. We are no longer slaves. But dang, wait a minute. Down in Galveston, Texas, a year and a half later, they ride through there and have to tell these folks on June 19th, 1865, that they are free and that slaves have been free since January 1st, 1863. Man, I might have had to go whip master's ass for that right there. Like, you still have me out here, man? But then they found a workaround because a lot of the slaves had nowhere to go. They didn't know where to go, didn't have anything, you know what I mean? So they said, okay, well, you can work this land. I'll let you live on my land. You can stay in the house that's back there. And then guess what? I'll pay you a percentage of what we make. And that became what? Sharecropping?
Sharecropping.
Slavery, yep. Slavery by another name. Because you know they didn't pay them what they were worth. Because the master and the overseers just sat around and watched everybody do everything. And they reaped the benefits of it all. So it's, you know, California. Hey, man, y'all just keep picking the same old crazy mugs to run your state. You had the Terminator running your state. He was getting his housekeeper pregnant and all of that stuff. And, yeah, y'all are real smart over there. I don't know if the earthquakes are shaking up brains or what's going on, but you know what?
It's been shaking the brains for a while. Let's also remember California gave us Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, like, he was an actor, man. Like, what is this with actors and y'all going to give them opportunities to really run something? Like, really run something. That's a brave move. You know, y'all are slipping on that one. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, they flip it all of other things, too, because I was reading an article. You got to love California because California does some interesting things. Like, you know, they were one of the leading states around legalizing marijuana, and I'm actually a supporter of that, even though it's not a product that I deal with, but I've got friends that deal with it, and definitely I know it's got some things in terms of medical benefits as well as I don't really find that it's a gateway drug, as many people may argue that it is, and it's also a state that was involved in like some affirmative action things, including efforts around banning affirmative action. I was not a big fan of that, and that might have been during the Reagan eras and all along those lines. But, you know, you got to love a state that's going to have a whole other campaign. So they're in the middle of a recall election, and they're going to have a campaign to recall the recall. So we're going to have another vote about recalling the whole recall process. So that sounds like a typical California move. One, we're going to have a recall election, and then after the recall election, we're going to have an election to decide whether we like the recall. So we're going to have an election to recall the recall.
Yeah, that's not smart at all. Beautiful state, dumbass people running it. Boy, it's just like that, man. Like, I guess to be in politics for some, you have to be absent of thought. You just have to be kind of one of those, how does it benefit me people? You know what I mean? I don't know. It's like, how does it benefit you? We don't really care. To be honest, we hope that you sit down and shut up. Please go somewhere.
Be great.
Lay your ass down somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yep. I was actually reading one of the articles from one of the papers. It was actually from the New York Times. But I got to love this quote from this 43-year-old artist who voted in Hollywood earlier today. But Frankie Santos says, this recall is so dumb. It's so not a good use of resources. She said that if she could have scrawled absolutely no to recalling Mr. Newsom without invalidating her ballot, she would have. I'm thinking that she actually wanted to put an F word in between that absolutely no. I think that she was being maybe a little bit diplomatic in her answer, because I'm thinking that actually what she wanted to say was absolutely effing no is what she really wanted to answer when that reporter asked her that question. But that's just my guess. I was not there with her talking to the reporter, but I'm guessing that she probably wanted to say absolutely effing no and all of that. But I don't know. What do you think?
But
you think that that's probably what they really wanted to say, and they were just trying to be politically diplomatic?
You know what? Some people have to say this right, or they won't air it or whatever. And then there are people like me. You're like, well, I don't care if you air it or not. You ask me a question, so I'm going to give you an answer. Don't really give a damn if you like it. Don't really give a damn if you don't. But what's going to happen is, do I feel it needs to be recalled? No. And I voted that. You know what I mean? In fact, maybe I didn't vote that. I'm not going to tell you which way I voted. Why don't you get out of my damn face? You got some money?
I know that's right. Speaking of voting, what do you think about this idea? Because I've heard it tossed out there for a while now. Of maybe we need to have our elections the same way that we run our talent shows, where people do it via voting or via the computer. I've heard that thrown out there now for probably close to a decade. But I was just wondering, Dean, what do you think? Do you think we'll ever get to the point where we actually have elections that are truly different, democratic, truly one man, one vote, and where we get a great amount of people that are voting? Because right now we know that the percentage of voters is actually relatively low. But I'm thinking that maybe if we went on the electronic system, it might be high. Of course, the danger of that is there's also all kinds of ways that you can cheat the system. But hey, apparently other countries are already cheating the system. So why not add another means for us to cheat the system within ourselves?
Everybody's worried about cheating the system, but they've been cheating the system with the paper ballots for years.
Right.
So, you know what? Say the argument. If you're too old and you can't use technology, then mail your shit in. Go to the poll and click the damn counter. Do whatever you got to do. But the rest of us should be allowed to vote any way we see fit. And if electronically, especially with this pandemic and all the stuff going on now, hey man, if you send me a secure link that I could go in and vote one time and then that's it, hey man, let's get it done. You know what I mean? Like, I vote by mail anyway, so I don't go to the polls. My ballot comes to me. I fill it out, I send it back to the Board of Elections, and I'm done. You know, and people are like, well, you need to go to the poll. No, I don't. You don't know what they're doing with you. You don't know what they're doing with that counter neither. I don't stress over that. That's nothing to concern my life with or have a heart attack about. You know what I mean? If that's what you're doing, that's what you're doing. We know they do some shady stuff. It is what it is. Some people are on a level. Some people are shady. There's nothing we can do about that part. However, what we can do is let our voices be heard. What we can do is vote and stop voting the line. That, you know, vote everybody in column one. For what? I only know two people. So guess what? If it's broken out, I'm going to vote for the one here, the second one. I don't know the rest of these folks. man, it's a toss-up. I'm flipping a coin. Whoever I'm voting for, I'm voting for. Or take the time and learn your candidate, and you may be surprised. Just because they're in a different political party than you are doesn't mean that everything they say you have to be against. That's that, you know, everybody say no. I'm not a fucking puppet. I kind of dig this part right here, but I don't like this part. But then the person that's supposed to be in the party, I don't like none of his shit. So mm-hmm. What do you do? I don't have I'm in the independent vote. I've been independent since I first registered to vote. And it was something my history teacher had taught us about the Democrats being an offshoot of the Whig Party that were proponents of segregation. And at first we were looking at her like, nah, that can't be right. With, you know, our family members of the Democrats, it's just like, yeah, because you've been conditioned to do that. Because there was a switch in the 60s where they claim a whole lot of people left the Democratic Party and became Republican. But now that's coming to light that it wasn't that many people as originally thought. The way I look at it is like it doesn't matter if it's the left hand, left wing, or the right wing. It's the same damn bird. And they do the same thing. Promise you a whole bunch of nothing. Get into office. And then conveniently have amnesia. So now what do? You know, vote in your conscience, man. It doesn't matter. The person that speaks to what you believe in, that should be the individual that you vote for. And people don't have to.
I definitely agree with you on that. Yeah, we got to do more of that, but we also got to study these smaller offices as well, because too often we spend too much time worrying about the folks on the national and even sometimes the state level. And while I'm not saying that we don't need to pay attention to those, well, actually I'm saying I'm not arguing that we don't need to pay attention to those. We also need to pay attention to the lower level because, you know, that dog catcher, that person that's your soil commissioner, that mayor, that county commissioner, that police chief, that number of other locally elected offices may have a more direct impact on you on a regular day-to-day basis. Let's talk about the school boards, where they definitely will have an impact on you if you've got school-age kids and things along those lines. And in some cases, they are running in nonpartisan elections, which means you don't even know whether they're Democrats or Republicans. So you definitely need to see what they're saying they're going to do in your school system, because they might be trying to bring some crazy charter school. I'm not knocking charter schools because I actually am a fan of certain charter systems, but maybe they're going to bring a crazy charter school into your neighborhood, or they might be trying to do something else with like the resource officers and a number of other issues that might be of concern to you, but you didn't bother to read and study up on those issues. Or the soil commissioner might be not doing what he's supposed to do in the sense of making sure that the soil is of good quality if you're trying to have some farmland, or even if you're trying to put your house on a particular property and things of that nature. So definitely study those local elections as well and study what they are about, because some of them may have some crazy ideas and you might not want to vote for them, but you won't know if you don't study them. And don't be just voting because it's your best friend or your frat or something else that is one of your buddies and everything. Actually study the issues and find out why they are supporting what they are supporting, and not just because it's your boy or your girl.
Yeah, please. And we're coming up on election season. Make sure that you know something about what's going on, because don't end up being like you said, that's my friend. So what? I got some friends that can't talk their way out of a wet piece of tissue. So now, am I supposed to vote on these lines? No, sir. You know, you can't buy my vote. I'm not doing that. You know, vote my conscience, and it's going to tell me which way I should go.
I agree. You've got to vote that conscience. Speaking of voting your conscience, you know, we're winding down. We've been having a lively discussion, and I hope folks have been enjoying it. I know that I had one friend that said they were listening. They actually even texted and said that they really enjoyed your viewpoint around relationships and marriage and things along those lines. And I might have some other friends that are catching us as well. But if folks are interested and they want to call in either in the next 10 minutes or so, the number is 646-668-8393. But do write that number down, because we're here on a regular basis, and I know that we're shifting around and doing some different things on different days. I think the next day we're back is on the 21st, if I remember correctly, or maybe it was the
23rd.
I know Ian's got that scheduled, but it's the 21st, which is next Tuesday, and everything. And we'll have another lively discussion going on in that sense as well. So we might be bouncing around some Tuesdays and some Wednesdays, but definitely in those days that we're not around, we'll be airing those reruns. But definitely while we're doing some readjusting, reassessing, and things of that nature. But don't worry, we're going to be here, and we're hoping to be here for a lot longer. We've been here for about over 5 years now, Dean. I think we've been here coming up on close to six. So we've been doing this for a while, and, you know, I know you said you got another 6 years to retirement. So maybe I'm going to hold you to another 6 years of us doing this show, and then we'll go off and retire in the sunset after a 12-year run. Or maybe we'll even go for 15 or 16 or 20. Of course, you know, none of us knows what's going on.
Gonna be 1,000 curse words on him. People are like, nah, we can't listen to that. Mark's all right, but the other dude, good gracious, he's terrible, man.
He just be cussing up the storm. He's just cussing all the time.
Trying to listen to this thing around my kids, but he's making it very difficult.
Yeah, another 15 years, I'll be pushing up near 70, so I might even be pulling out some cuss words as well by that time. So maybe not, but we're going to stick around as long as we can. And, of course, we enjoy having these conversations.
We're going to change the name of the show. Two honorary old men be on the show, like, losing it. They'd be like, remember when they used to have guests and talk about real issues? Now all they do is cuss. Like, yeah, too old.
They just cuss at each other. They cuss and mutter. And half the time we don't know what they're saying because they're muttering. So we're not even sure exactly what they're saying. Every once in a while they'll pull out like some crazy quote that we vaguely remember from the shows back in the early 2020s and back in the 20-teens and everything. But we vaguely remember those quotes because every once in a while they'll pull one of those from a past episode. But then the rest of the time they're muttering at each other and having way too much fun. I think that they've even talked about having like these crazy comedians come in and maybe even some other ornery folks, maybe the ornery old man with their ornery lady friends popping in as well. So that could be the whole ornery show. No, I'm not really feeling that one. So I think that we'll just stick around as long as we can and, of course, provide other great entertainment as well. But I am thinking that we can probably last for another 4 to 6 years, but only the time and the powers that be above will truly know that. But right now I'm feeling good about us at least making it to 2025. But like I said, we're just going to rock it and roll it as long as we can with the amazing guests that we try to bring in and see where things take us and everything. But, you know, I'm also thinking that by that time, Dean might have won that $1 million lottery. He might call me and be like, Mark, I love doing the radio and the podcasting with you, and I love doing even the streaming thing if I talk him into being a TV and a visual person. But he's going to be like, I can't get with it because I just won the lottery, and I think I'm going off to Costa Rica and Kenya.
Well, you know, I have done the video thing. Shout out to WBKS One Radio, Plainfield, New Jersey, when I was one of the chairs on the Let's Talk About It radio show. So I have done, you know, but I'm more comfortable in this medium where I can kind of kick back. I can say what I want anyway, but it's just a little different. It's a different vibe. You know what I mean? When you're on camera, man, you have to, like, everything has to be in its place. And when you're on radio, it can be a little bit more relaxed because they can't see what I'm doing right now, even though I'm sitting in a chair. But they don't know that. If I was laying in the bed, they wouldn't know that. You know, if I'm hanging upside down, they had no clue.
Well, I'm going to tell people a little secret, and they can take it any way they want to on radio and everything. The one thing that I would give credit, StreamYard credit for, is that a lot of times they are looking at your camera and looking at your camera angle from the sitting position. And I'm thinking that they could even do the same thing at TV stations, but that's a public place. But, you know, this whole world of virtual and everything, nobody really knows what I'm doing as long as I've got a good shirt and something comfortable on the front. Whatever is going on at the bottom, nobody's seeing that. So definitely a lot of times that's not even a concern or things along those lines. And by the way, you have also made a TV appearance earlier this year in which you did a great job. But I know that that's one of the shows that we support and everything. But I got to give a shout-out to Russ because you did a great job when you appeared with Russ Hedge and the whole thing that he does. So I got to give you a shout-out because I did watch that show, and you held your own with Russ. And Russ is a motivational speaker, and he's also been doing this live stream for a while. So I'm going to give you credit. And, you know, as they say, give those roses while they're living. And I've got to give you credit. You held your own with Brother Russ. And I think that if I bring you in with Brian Showman and that whole crazy crew of the Voice Your Vibe people that do their show on Saturday and Wednesday, that you can hang your hat with them as well. I mean, they get into like some crazy cartoon characters and turn themselves into bananas and sheep and a bunch of other things. So if anything, you might be too busy cracking up at some of their antics. But I think that you can hold your own even with them as well.
Okay. Well, look, we got somebody in here. I want to see. We got like 2 minutes left. Caller, you are now on the line. Thanks for calling Straight Talk with Demon Mark. How can we help you?
Hello there. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
We hear you. How are you doing?
Oh, one. Good. I'm sorry. It cut out a little bit. I heard hello.
Thank you for calling Straight Talk with Demon Mark.
Nice to be on the air. This is my first time hearing you guys. This is Stacy. I'm calling from California.
Oh, wow. Thank you for listening. It's about 5,
yes,
almost 6 o'clock where you are?
It is. It's almost 6 o'clock.
Wow. Okay.
And you're on the East Coast, so it's almost 9 o'clock your time.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that I really appreciated some of the statements that you made regarding relationships. You made some very valid comments,
you.
And you were speaking to not only men but also women, right? Dropping some, as they say in Clubhouse, those pearls of wisdom, those mic drop moments.
Came with experience, and I had to learn the hard way. So, you know, once learned, you have to pass on that knowledge. So, you know, hopefully it'll be a help to someone else.
Exactly.
Each one.
And
you got it.
I was in a room last night. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I said, you got it. Each one teach one.
Each one teach one. And I think it's all about being humble, remaining humble, right?
Right.
Because that humility, when you come from a place of humility, you can say, well, I can learn from them as well as teach. You're my counterpart, right? You're my ride or die.
Your tag
team
partner.
But that's all I wanted to do is call in and say thank you. I'm sorry, I'm on some headphones. I think it might be a little delayed. Say that one time.
No. That's okay. I can hear you. I don't know if you hear yourself. Do you have your radio up? I don't have any feedback here, but okay.
No, I called the phone number. So I'm using my phone.
No problem.
We
thank you, and we appreciate
you. Oh, thank you so much. Yes, and I was enjoying the political conversation as well. It's nice to hear, you know, men of melanated nature to have some healthy conversation.
Indeed.
And it was refreshing.
Thank you.
Take care.
Appreciate you for calling in. Definitely appreciate the support coming all the way in from California. So definitely appreciate that love and support. And definitely we got people listening from all over, including the amazing Stacy from over there in California.
Yep. And we greatly appreciate it. We appreciate it. And we appreciate it, you know. So, hey, y'all, it's Straight Talk with Dean and Mark. And I'm kind of waiting for this minute to go down because, you know, once you click this little thing, it makes a lot of noise. So I got my little noisemaker just walked in the room with me now. So I need to have her just wait. And then she's watching me. It's my boss lady, man. She just walked into my granddaughter. So You know, she just came.
Well, we know
in,
that the grandbaby is the new boss.
Things.
That's no telling. That's the new
boss.
Yeah,
checking on me to see what's going on. But, ladies and gentlemen, make sure, you know, when these last 30 seconds before I do this outro, September 21st, we'll be back on at 7 p.m. So be sure to join us right here. And then in a couple of weeks, like I said, we'll be moving, but we'll tell you exactly where we're moving to so that you can move with us and enjoy it. So, you know, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. And we greatly appreciate you and your listenership. But right now, y'all, as I close this out, it's Straight Talk with Dean and Mark. We love being here. We love having you. Catch our replay tomorrow afternoon on the Skyhawk Radio Network at 2 p.m. And if you miss it, we do have replays on Radio Public, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, Spotify, Spreaker, TuneIn, Stitcher, Podbean, Apple Podcast, Podchaser, Podcast Addict, CastBox, PodFollow, Deezer, GeoSaving, and right here on Blog Talk Radio, where we are part of the Level Podcast Network. You can catch other shows such as The Black Girl's Guide to Surviving Menopause, The Chef Gang Radio Show, Fun from the Front Seat, Funk Music with Zach, Learning Unwrapped, Less K-12 Better, Marketing with Russ, a.k.a. hashtag Russ Selfie, Mona Shake and the Minority Reports, Mullings Music and Memories with Mark Lee, The Online Dinner Party with Mark Lee, The Plant a Good Seed Podcast, The Reinvention Road Trip, She's on Call, The Just Podcast, I'm trying to remember them all, The Mark Lee Show, The Spin It Social Hour, Virginia Interfaith Live, WNC Original Music, and of course, Straight Talk with Dean and Mark. Now, like I always say, when you walk outside your front door, it's showtime and the world is your stage. Just make sure that people are not watching the rehearsal. With that being said, it's Six Man Dean Geronimo. Have an outstanding week. Hey, y'all. We see y'all in 7 days.
We'll see him next Tuesday. Looking forward to it, and we'll catch him then. By then, I should have some amazing guests lined up. But if not, we'll have some more engaging conversation. But that being said, we're out of here. We'll catch you back on the 21st.
Peace.
Peace.